Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Away we go. Hour number three of our radio program. Zach Gelb Show here on a Monday on CBS Sports Radio. Welcome in. We're coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Let's have a discussion of the viral video that we saw over the weekend when a youngster, and what I mean by youngster, a high school football player. I sounded very antiquated, by the way, there. What a youngster. All right, so you had a high school football player, I guess, want his 15 minutes of fame, and he's at Cam Newton's camp, from my understanding of the story, and he starts mouthing off to Cam. Now, this wasn't something where, because I'm trying to take it from the understanding of the kid. I want to be delicate with this situation because we are talking about a kid. Now, if you want to be a loser on social media when this kid issues an apology today, and he was clearly in the wrong, and you're going to then start talking smack to a high school kid, which I see that on the cesspool of Twitter, you got to really reevaluate your life. And I know that you're looking for social media fame like this kid was looking for social media fame. But if you find it in yourself today to go talk smack behind an egg face or a dog or a cat or whatever, some scenic background, you're a loser. You got to reevaluate your life. Well, let's just start there. But I'm trying to understand it from the kid. If this was maybe Cam criticizing the kid, hey, you did this poorly on a route, or you didn't defend this receiver the way that I would have expected, maybe the kid could have been a sore loser and mouth off to Cam. Not take it to the level that he did, but that's not what we saw in the video. And what we saw in the video was maybe the kid played earlier. I think he did from another video that I saw. But he's mouthing off to Cam. And unprovoked, he goes up to Cam and says, you're going to be poor. You're a free agent. Huh? That's what we're doing? Now, I wonder how the kid got to that point. Was he having a conversation with his buddies and his buddies dared him to do that and this kid's like a class clown or something like that? Or does this kid really have an ego the size of the Atlantic Ocean and said, I don't even respect the guy that's teaching us here. Now, this is not just any football player. And even so, I know sometimes we'll get on the radio, this guy stinks, this guy's good. If you're in the NFL, and let's say you're wanting to go to the NFL one day, and you're a kid in high school, which I would assume that this kid does want to go to the NFL. I don't know if he's any good or not. Even if this is some 53 or 52nd guy on the roster, you should be using that as a resource and show some respect. I'll never forget, I did a clinic. I hosted a clinic at a sleepaway camp in the Poconos that I attended as a kid. And a buddy of mine, Deion Dawkins, who we talk about on the show all the time, I told Deion, come up to the camp, teach a clinic. And Deion was projected to be, or at the time, he was already drafted by Buffalo in the second round, which is a pretty big accomplishment. But we know how offensive linemen get marketed or don't get marketed enough. For most of these kids, I bet you at the clinic, they didn't know who Deion Dawkins was before that day. But when I brought Deion there, it was as if we were bringing Tom Brady somewhere, or Rob Gronkowski, or Patrick Mahomes. Because to those kids, you see a professional athlete, you go bonkers. It's an exuberant moment. So this kid at the camp for Cam, however it got to that point, think about how embarrassing it is now when you look back at it. And kids are going to make mistakes. But this kid saying to Cam, who, by the way, let me remind people, was a Heisman Trophy winner, won a league MVP, started in a Super Bowl, and oh yeah, by the way, he signed what? A 5-year, $305 million contract at one point. And almost any company, even though Cam is not a great quarterback anymore, would still pay Cam a king's ransom to do an endorsement, because Cam is a very likable person. And you have this kid say to Cam, you're going to be poor and you're a free agent, you're a nobody? And even if you had the audacity to say that and initiate the conversation, when Cam claps back at you, I could just say, if I was that kid, there's one thing to say what he said, but then when Cam goes back at you, you would have expected the kid to kind of curl up into a ball or into a shell. But he was combative back. And he echoed the sentiments again. You're going to be poor. You're a free agent. And I give Cam credit. Now, I know some people are going to get on Cam. That's just the nature of the beast. Oh, well, you shouldn't even be going back and forth with a kid. It's his camp. And a kid saying something to him like that. And notice, Cam didn't really get too combative back with the kid. When the kid continued to mouth off, Cam saying, where's your father? Let me talk to your father. And whenever that did blow over, Cam, then in a mature way, when they were in a huddle in a different session, started talking to the kid again in a very calm, polite way to try to learn a little bit more about the kid and smooth over the relationship, because Cam has to know. When that's going on, people are recording him. It's going to get out. Nothing is private anymore. Even things that you think are private turn out to be public. But also, I think it's the kind spirit of what we've seen of Cam throughout the years, where he's trying to make this a teachable moment at his camp. And that's the irony of this. I don't know why the kid's there. He clearly doesn't respect Cam, but regardless, that kid is there to do what? Learn and get better. And you're going to destroy and chastise the teacher? That's your intention? That's what you do? That doesn't make sense to me. So that was one of the more bizarre moments on social media that I've seen in quite some time. And quite frankly, I'll take you back. I'll share you a little anecdote here. I was at Temple. When I was at Temple, we had Stephen A. Smith come speak to us, to the School of Media and Communication. And this was not that long ago. I think it was my senior year, it was 2015 or 2016. So Stephen A. Smith comes to this event, and you had to pay or register. So you had to obviously want to go. I don't know if you had to pay, but you at least had to register. And it was on a weeknight. So you had to go out of your way to want to go to this event. And Stephen A. Smith, you know, he's as big as it gets in the media industry these days. So I clearly wanted to go. I went to the event, and I'm sitting there, and there's a question and answer period. And some kid raised his hand. They brought him the microphone. And the kid goes, Stephen A., you're talking about all this money you have. You're talking about how great of a life you live. If you have all this money, you live such a great life, why wouldn't you try to fix your hairline? And the group of friends that this kid was with, I didn't know who the kid was, they right away were like, oh! But everyone else kind of was saying, as how I like to say, huh? That's what we're doing? And that's so disrespectful. Because you should take that time to learn something from the speaker that's being brought in. And I'm not saying you have to agree with everything. And I forget necessarily how it went down after that. I forget what Stephen A. Smith said. But Stephen A. was so witty in his response. And he basically started off, you should respect your elder. Started lecturing to the kid as he should. And then I think he said something along the lines, and I'm sure a video of this will surface that could correct me. But I'm pretty sure he said, you're going to talk about my appearance when you come into my lecture looking like that? In sweatpants and a t-shirt? And then the whole room kind of went back and was like, yeah, good job, Stephen A. but just the lack of respect. And that's why I share the story, is because you had two kids, one going after a guy that is a former league MVP and a Heisman Trophy winner that's trying to become a football player. And not necessarily if you're at the Stephen A. Smith lecture at Temple University, are you trying to become a broadcaster? But you at least wanted to go because there was some interest in Stephen A. And you're going to trash the guy that is coming into Temple to speak? So I actually commend Cam here for trying to make this a teachable moment. But I would really like to know a little bit more about this kid. Not that I want to lambaste him. Not that I want to trash him. I saw some stuff today that the kid supposedly doesn't even have a ranking on Rivals or whatever the sites are. But what made you say that? And is it just simply to get your name out in the media and get your 15 minutes of fame? If that's the case, all right. But if you're actually trying to become a football player, you're not going to be remembered for the tackles that you made, unless if you end up becoming a stud. You're not going to be remembered for the great catches you're going to be made. When you're getting recruited, and who knows how far he is in the process, but in the next year, two, or three, people are going to ask you about this. So I don't see, A, what the benefit was of doing it, and B, I don't get why you would go to someone's camp and then trash the person that's teaching you. And I'm not ignoring the fact that you could have different philosophies. You don't always have to agree with your teachers. But when you disagree with the teacher, you got to be respectful there. And this is not just a traditional student-teacher relationship. We're talking about a guy that, yes, he has not been good the last 3 years. I've said it before. I don't think Cam Newton is ever going to be a successful starting quarterback again. But just because he hasn't been good the last 3 years, in this kid's eyes, Cam is someone that's not successful. And Cam is someone that's accomplished nothing. It shows you really about our society, how we are such a prisoner of the moment. Cam Newton, 5 years ago, started in a Super Bowl. 5 years ago. And in this high school kid's mind, Cam is a scrub. Cam stinks. Cam never won a Heisman. Cam was never an MVP. It's amazing how quickly we knock people off a perch. I'm not saying that you should believe Cam's going to be a great quarterback again, but to now treat Cam's career as if he was a failure, and as the kid said, you're going to be poor? Like, what? Now, the kid did take to social media today, and he wanted to apologize. Let's read his apology, because we'll be fair to both sides. First and foremost, I want to express my deepest apologies to Cam Newton, my entire organization, and my coaches. First off, I don't know what program, I'm assuming it's his team. Who calls a high school team an organization? I guess high school sports are different even when I played them. My entire organization and my coaches for my actions at the 7v7 tournament this past weekend. I did not intend for it to get as far as it did. First, I would like to start off by saying my parents never taught me to be disrespectful of people is what I guess he meant. As a football player, I let my competitive side get the best of me, and it was a huge miscommunication. It was in the midst of the moment, and I realize now how a lot of you took it as disrespect. I never meant to humiliate and let anyone down. I'm very appreciative for the 7v7 to even allow me to be a part of the community and allowing me to be a part of the team I am currently on. I realize this can dictate my future as a young man, having very big dreams and goals, but I will not allow this to stop me from getting where I need to be. So again, I apologize and I hope I can be forgiven. All right, like, the kid could be forgiven. But once again, you didn't mean for it to get that far? Those weren't your intentions? You are a high school kid. For all we know, you may not be any good at football. It doesn't matter. You're going to a guy who is running a camp, from our understanding. His camp. I don't care if you are the high school quarterback, the high school player of the year at your high school. You show some damn respect to a guy that has competed at the highest of levels, not only competed at the highest of levels, has excelled at the highest of levels. College Heisman winner, national champion, NFL, Super Bowl appearance, and he was a league MVP. So what competitive spirits? What overtook you there to then yell at Cam Or just because it looks like he's just started randomly chirping at Cam and say, you're going to be poor, you're a free agent, you're a nobody.
Ay, ay, ay. What a mess that is.
Now, can I give you one other Zach Gelb story? I gave you the Stephen A. Smith story, which really doesn't have anything to do with me. It was just me sitting there. I'll give you one Zach Gelb clinic story. I was at a clinic in New York City. Remember Paul LaDuca, right? You got to remember Paul LaDuca. So Paul LaDuca was on a New York City rooftop. It was a Steiner Sports clinic. Now, my uncle went to college with Brandon Steiner. They're like fraternity brothers, longtime friends. So I guess that was my in to the clinic because I think I was 13 and you shouldn't have been in the clinic unless if you were 11. So I am a large human being by nature. When I'm 13 with a bunch of 9 and 11-year-olds, I am Sasquatch, I guess, compared to all these other kids. So Paul LaDuca was having a little bit fun, and he goes, you got to run me over. They're doing a drill. You're charging to the catcher. Back when you could show you how far away we are, you could charge and run over a catcher, and LaDuca was being the catcher. Now, LaDuca was having fun with it, and he was like mock falling and all that, you know, not going anywhere. But when I got up, he goes, oh, we got, what's your name? Zach? We got Big Zach here. That was bigger than all these kids. And he goes, run as hard as you can. I start making a bolt for Paul LaDuca. And back then, I thought I knocked him over. Clearly, looking back at it, I think Paul LaDuca probably did take a James Harden flop, as James Harden did flop and dive in that game last night, which was Oscar worthy. Now, remember, we're on a rooftop. I'm not saying LaDuca got all that close to the edge, but it was uncomfortable enough where the person running the clinic that was a part of the organization, and I guess Steiner Sports said, yeah, Paul, let's not do this anymore. But no, I did not mouth off as a 11, 12, however old I was, year old kid to Paul LaDuca. So it's just amazing to me how I'm just trying to put myself in the kid's position. I don't care if I'm the class clown and all my friends are egging me on. Hey, Zach, say this. Hey, Zach, say this. Where I think we've all been in that spot. I certainly would not have the cojones at a camp where it's being run by a Heisman Trophy winner and a league MVP, a former league MVP, I don't care how many years ago it is, and say, hey, Cam, you're going to be poor because you're a free agent. You stink. Ay, ay, ay. And I commend Cam, like I said, for the way that he handled it. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Doing more on the Zach Gelb Show is sponsored by the Home Depot. For savings on the latest appliances from the kitchen to the laundry room, your appliance upgrade is well within reach. Save on top of appliances now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Buck star Giannis Antetokounmpo. Can you say that 10 times fast there, Trace?
Oh, boy. All right. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, you were close.
Like 4.5.
You were close. I think I got close. To 5 there. So Bucks stars Giannis Antetokounmpo led the Bucks past the Kings by a score of 128-115 on Sunday. The Greek freak, as some may call him, to not have to say Giannis Antetokounmpo 10 times fast, scored 38 points, knocked down 19 of 24 three throws, and collected 18 rebounds as the Bucks won their second straight game. Our poll question today, you can find it as always at Zach Gelb at CBS Sports Radio. Will the Brooklyn Nets, Brooklyn, will they get to the NBA Finals this year? Got an opinion in just a moment about Sam Darnold and Jimmy G. You could always give me a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. 4227, and our next stop is in Baltimore, and we go to Joe. Joe, what's happening?
Nothing much. How you doing, Zach?
Doing great. What do you got for me today, brother?
Nothing much, but hey, I was going back to what you were talking about an hour ago, though, with Chicago Bears taking Cam Newton. I think we should again. I mean, I called you last week, and I talked about Trubisky, and it can't be any worse than that. We take him for a year, and then we go back to your plan, and then we get Dak Prescott next year. Zach.
So here's the one thing. I get if you're a Bears fan. Why you would rather
quarterback, bud.
Why you would rather want Cam. Hold on. I get why you would rather want Cam over Trubisky or Nick Foles. And I get it. Don't get me wrong. I even said it earlier. I'd rather have Cam than Trubisky because I do like the name that you said, and also Nick Foles. However, if I'm Ryan Pace and if I'm Matt Nagy, is that what you're really going to try to save your job?
I think Ryan Pace should be gone. I do like Nagy, in all honesty. I do like him as a head coach. I do wish he
Based off
he had a
what,
great first
though?
Year.
But other than the first year, he's done nothing.
He didn't, but he's never had a quarterback either.
And yeah, but hold on. But let me ask you this. If you are that good of a coach, like, for example, Frank Reich, even after the year that Andrew Luck retired in the preseason, the final game of the preseason, I'm not saying that they were awesome, but they at least got something out of Jacoby Brissett. And then also, if you look back at last year, Philip Rivers was out in the 18th hole, basically walking into the clubhouse, and they were a playoff team with a roster that, yes, they have some talent, but there's not a ton of elite offensive names at the skill position.
No, you're right. And like Trey, like this year, I'm like an undercover Colts fan. I mean, you guys know how it is. You always pick a team. It's not your team, but you pick a team you root for. Last year, I was going with the Bills. This year, I mean, I am going with the Colts now. I mean, you have to. I mean, how I like Frank Wright. He's from Maryland. He graduated from Maryland.
Yeah,
you know,
roommate with Boomer Esiason's.
Yeah,
so
had the greatest comeback ever in college football and in NFL playoffs.
So you're gonna roll with the Colts this year. Ugh. I'm sorry. I like Joe with his Trubisky line, but come on. I can't root for the Colts. But they are, I will say this, even though I have history with the Colts, if you want to talk, if you're a Bears fan, you would want to be the Colts. If I'm going to tell you you don't have a quarterback, you would want to be the Colts, where you have the GM in Ballard, who's well-respected. You have a coach who's a good coach and well-respected around the league. Got a solid defense. So the Bears defense better than the Colts, but you got a solid defense, good defense in Indianapolis. The offensive line for the Colts is much better. Running back game, I like Jonathan Taylor. Now, Allen Robinson does beat out Michael Pittman and T.Y. Hilton at this stages of their career, but I don't even know if Allen Robinson's definitely going to be back. We'll see if he gets franchise tagged tomorrow. But the Colts haven't had a quarterback since Luck retired. And look what they did last year. They did something that didn't hurt their franchise, bringing in Philip Rivers. Now it helps when Reich has the connection. And then you look at what the Bears did. They traded for Nick Foles. And think about it, with years on the contract, if the Bears wanted Cam, wouldn't they have signed him last year when they could have given him the starting job? But they knew Ryan Pace. He knew. And they didn't believe in Trubisky. They knew they had to start Trubisky because then all the egg would be on Ryan Pace's face if he couldn't even still be a starting quarterback. And they pulled him when they were, what, 2.5-0? They pulled him in that third game. And they got to 3-0. And then eventually you saw Nick Foles be Nick Foles, who he was not in Philadelphia in that Super Bowl 52 season. And you went back to Trubisky. And now, because all of a sudden Trubisky beat three bottom six defenses in three of the final four games, Ryan Pace keeps his job. Matt Nagy keeps his job at 8-8. That is a horrendous decision-making by the Bears. Horrible, brutal, abysmal, atrocious. Whatever adjective you want to throw in there, you throw it in there. So now what's the Bears' grand plan? Heck, if I'm a Bears fan, why not give up a 3-2, a conditional 2, and they should have got Wentz? Now where do you go? You have to consider Cam. You consider bringing back Trubisky. I love that, by the way. Or maybe you bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick. As I know some people are going to laugh at that. Out of all those options, Fitzpatrick on a year? He could be a game manager, give you a little flair for with some Fitzmagic. Now, were you here last week, Trace? I know you were here. I know you only missed Friday. I don't think this was just on a Friday. Were you here when I brought up my Dak Prescott take? Yes, no, maybe so.
I was. I was, yes.
And I was saying, go, Dak, go. Go, hey, Chicago, Dak, go. What do you say? Dak's going to be your quarterback today. Go, Dak, go. I think I sang it a little bit better last week. But anyway, if I'm the Bears, I'm being serious about that. If the Cowboys don't give Dak Prescott a long-term deal and they go this franchise tag route and you go for a month or two without giving him that long-term extension, if I'm Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy trying to save my jobs, you go give your fan base some hope and you go make a trade for Dak Prescott. I'm not saying the Cowboys are definitely going to do it, but you got to try. Hey, right now the Texans are telling you, we are not trading Deshaun Watson. Wah, 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 wah. Teams are still calling. Reported this week, there are two teams that called over the weekend, I think. Or going back to last week, two teams called. Now, here's how that phone call went. Hey, it's Nick Caserio with the Texans. Let's assume it's Joe Douglas. Hey, it's Joe Douglas with the Jets. Hey, Joe, what's going on? Of course, Nick Caserio knows what's going on. We were looking for Deshaun. We'll give you 3 first-round picks. Click. Boom. Don't even give him an answer yet. Now, my question is, how many times a day are teams like the Jets, the 49ers, even the Bears, the Dolphins, Panthers, Broncos, how many times per day are they calling Nick Caserio? Because you know Nick Caserio isn't going to be the one that calls back. It's going to be what day does he wake up and realize this relationship is not salvageable? And you got to realize that soon, because if you're going to trade him, and I do think he'll still get traded, you need to trade him before the draft. You have to know where one of those first-round picks are going to land in the draft. With a guy this good, check that, this great, you cannot run this game by chance where you're picking with the 21st pick in the first round next year because your ego got in the way and you wait until after the draft to trade Deshaun Watson. Now, two teams that are vying for the services via trade of Deshaun Watson are the Jets, 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 and the San Francisco 49ers. If they don't get Deshaun Watson, either of those teams, is their current quarterback back next year? Jimmy G, I think, would. I think it's either go get Watson. Now, you could still draft a quarterback, but you're not moving on from Jimmy G this year if you draft a quarterback. I think it's either you go get Watson or Jimmy G is going to be back as your starting quarterback. I think the 49ers have made it clear the last 2 years. They like Jimmy G. They don't love Jimmy G. They gave him the contract, all that, but they sniffed around, assessed the Brady market last year, didn't pull the trigger, and this year they're going to sniff around as they should, and we'll see if they pull the trigger on the Deshaun Watson trade. So I'm going to say right now that they don't get Watson, even though that would be a heck of a landing spot. And oh, look at that conference or that division. You get Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, and Deshaun Watson all in one division if he goes to the NFC West. But if they don't get Watson, and I'm going to say it's unlikely at this point, and they're definitely one of those teams, but can you say that they're the favorite? So it's a chance. I don't think it's a great chance. It makes sense, but it's not a great chance. I do think Jimmy G's going to be back next year. Now for Sam Darnold, if the Jets don't get Watson, I don't think there's a chance or much of a chance that Darnold's back. Here's why. Darnold has a year left on the contract. They're not going to give him the fifth-year option. Sam Darnold last year had 9 passing touchdowns in 12 or 13 games. Even if he improves this year, even if he gets to 16 or 17 and you decline the fifth-year option in this offseason, because that would be the logic, what are the chances that the Jets are giving Sam Darnold at this point a long-term extension? I don't see it. So if I'm the Jets, why waste another year when you're just going to get rid of him at the end of the year? You trade him when there is a value. When there is a market to be made for Sam Darnold, go trade him. Maybe you get back a second. Even if you get back a third and another pick, fine. Go do that. And am I to believe that Joe Douglas, if he doesn't get Watson, he will have 12 picks in the first 3 rounds in the next 3 years, 9 picks in the first 3 rounds in the next 2 years, and 5 first-round picks in the next 3 years? Am I to believe that Joe Douglas, when he's picking second overall, if he doesn't trade for Deshaun Watson, is not going to take a quarterback? When he has no emotional attachment, him nor Saleh, 2-1 Sam Darnold. I think he's taking Wilson. I think he's taking Fields. I think he maybe even Trey Lance. But if I'm to guess this right now, here's the Jets' priorities. Numero uno, go trade for Deshaun Watson. If you swing or miss or the draft comes and goes and Watson isn't traded by then, you're doing this evaluation process. And Rapoport even said today they're not committing to Darnold until they do this evaluation process. And this evaluation process, if you don't get Watson and it comes time for the draft, Lawrence goes one, you're at number two, you're going to fall in love with one of these quarterbacks. And that even gives you more incentive to then trade Sam Darnold and get something back, because then it's officially over for Sam Darnold. So Jimmy G, if the 49ers don't get Watson, I think Jimmy G will be back. But if the Jets don't get Watson, I don't see how Sam Darnold's back. The only way Sam Darnold is back is if somehow Joe Douglas doesn't fall in love with one of these quarterbacks. So Sam, he's on his way out of New York.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
One little gripe I have with you, Ryan Tracicki.
Let's hear it.
Got a big problem with you. It's not a little gripe. It's
a huge problem. Oh, boy.
Enormous. Huge problem. This is more of a Wednesday song.
Oh, really? Okay. Why is that?
Now, I could see maybe your theory on this. Monday, people coming off a weekend, had the Sunday scaries. Now we're back in the work week on a Monday. You need a little pump up to start your week off in the right direction. I think a song like that is more so Wednesday. When you get to the middle of the week, you go, all right, we're in the workflow, thinking about the weekend. You don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. You get a little tired in the middle of the week on a hump day, and you need a little jolt of energy. I see we don't do much EDM on this show, but I do think, and I have asked for you to implement a minuscule amount of EDM throughout the segment. So here and there, you know, do a little rock, do a little rap. Maybe throw in a country song. One country song a week.
Oh, okay.
Not a big country fan, but you could throw me one country song a week. Then we'll sound like old school, like I miss in the morning days. Like, oh, it's Zach Gelb in the evenings here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, get a little country going. But EDM, because you will probably play, what, one EDM song a week? Not that I know that what your formula is, but I would say, what, probably one or two max a week, right?
Oh, yeah, maybe two to three. I'll sprinkle it in.
Okay. So I would say not on a Monday. Unless, if you realize I'm sluggish, which I don't think I'm sluggish today. I'm sluggish coming back from a weekend, and I need a little jolt of energy. But really, that EDM song is supposed to be the pickup when I'm down and out, and I'm about to tap out and say that this fight is over, and then bam, you revitalize my career, I guess. You know what today is the one-year anniversary of? You know where I was 1 year ago to this day?
Oh, wow. I have zero clue. I'm sorry.
Think how naive we were at the time with COVID-19. Because we're, what, coming up on 3 weeks, I think it is, from what when the NBA situation happened with Rudy Gobert on March 11th, I want to say that was. This time, last year, I'm in a bar in New York City. Not just a bar, I'm in Steve Nash's bar. I think it's called The Gem. He owns some bar in New York City. Now, you're familiar with The Gem, you being a young...
Yeah, is that downtown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of my girlfriend's friends lives by. They like The Gem.
Yeah.
I didn't know Steve Nash owned that.
Steve Nash is a group of him and his friends just said, yeah, we're going to open up a restaurant, and it was The Gem. Good food, but at night, it turns into a restaurant club. Like, you're not getting food there probably at night. I'm sure you can, but you're going there to drink and let the, build the beat up and then let the beat drop and all that. So I'm at The Gem, and for some reason, my friend who lives by there has like VIP treatment at The Gem, and I don't think there's something called VIP treatment at The Gem. We go there, there's no coat check, but there's a closet. We know the bouncer, he puts our coats in the closet, and he will also always get us a table. So we walked in, he boots someone off a table. Guess what I'm getting ready to watch that night? You have any clue? Year ago today, what was the big sporting event a year ago today?
February 22nd. I'm trying to think.
Do, 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 bum, ba, dum, bum, 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 bum.
I will say a Bucks Lakers regular season game. Oh, boy.
That's a good guess because if you remember the week before the shutdown, and it's not exactly a week before the shutdown, I think we're like 3 weeks away, We did have the Bucks play the Lakers, and the Lakers got a nice little dub, and then LeBron followed it up on that Sunday. Giannis actually got hurt in that game, and we did see the Lakers take down the Clippers. So you were wrong. It was not a Bucks-Lakers game. Now, I'll give you a hint, one more hint. You know how I said we need the EDM music to revitalize my career? This person, and the first time this thing happened, was down and out, and it looked like it was over, and he got back up on his feet.
Oh, wow. Is this the Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury fight?
That is correct.
Wow.
A year ago today, Tyson Fury kicked the snot out of Deontay Wilder. And you saw the return of one Tyson Fury, who was then singing in the ring afterwards. I was at a bar in New York watching that. That was a great fight. That was the last time boxing was back. That was great. Did you watch that fight? We had Tyson Fury on 2 weeks before the fight here, exclusively on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And his story, those are one of those interviews the PR person goes, you only got 8 minutes. You only got 8 minutes. I think we ended up having 15, 16 minutes with Tyson Fury because he opened up on the depression and the addiction and how he kind of got back to where he was. Because I saw a photo today. It was a montage, a collage of photos of where Tyson Fury was at his worst. And, dude, he was huge. Enormous. Like, obese. And he ended up getting himself in a good state of mind. I guess not doing drugs and drinking. And ended up going up against Deontay Wilder. And the first time, even he said he wasn't at 100%. Questionable scoring. The second time, he beat Deontay Wilder. And, man, that was like the last day I think Deontay Wilder was likable. Because Deontay Wilder, everyone used to love him. And then what he pulled afterwards, oh, I'm blaming my guy that was in my corner for throwing in the towel. That dude saved your life. Your head was like dented. Your ear looked destroyed. I think you lost a piece of it. And not only that, the lamest excuse, the worst excuse, because he went into the ring in whatever he was wearing, and he had like all this armor on and all this metal. He goes, because of the buildup walking into the ring, my legs were shot because of that, because of all the heavy armor that I was wearing. And we had on Teddy Atlas that week, lost his mind. We had on, I forget who, some ex-fighter. They go, yeah, that's the lamest, weakest excuse. Just say that you lost. There's more pride in just saying that you lost. So that was a year ago today, February 22nd, 2020. And little did we know, a few weeks later, going to a bar would be an anomaly. Oy, oy, oy. That was a great fight, though. Unbelievable fight. All righty. Let's get into the latest on Deshaun Watson. Houston Texans still say they're not trading him. Now, when you look at the reporting, ESPN had a big, bold prediction. And that big, bold prediction, there was a reporter who said, 3-1s and Christian McCaffrey's my big, bold prediction for Deshaun Watson. Now, people ran with that as if it was a report, and it wasn't. So, in the reporting from ESPN, do me a favor, Trace. Can you just look up who the ESPN reporter is? I want to say David Stewart. I forget what his name is. But in his article today, or over the weekend, he said, before the moves, Carolina in the QB carousel, according to league sources, offered Detroit the number 8 pick, a 5th-round pick, and quarterback Teddy Bridgewater for quarterback Matthew Stafford. The Lions ultimately traded him to the Rams. By the way, if I'm Carolina, I would not have done that deal. Why am I giving up the 8th overall pick? And I get getting rid of Teddy Bridgewater and a 5th-round pick. For Matthew Stafford, he's a good quarterback, but he's not your long-term answer. And maybe you could be a playoff team next year with Matthew Stafford, but you are not a Super Bowl contending team right now. Like, Stafford going to the Rams makes sense. Now, could you say if you're the Rams, would you rather have, or the Lions, would you rather have the 8th pick, or would you rather have Goff 2 firsts and a 3? I think you'd rather have Goff 2 firsts and a 3, even though I don't love Goff, and even though those 2 ones could be significantly later, and an eighth overall player could really be game-changing for you. I look at that. I'd rather take the upside with Goff and two ones and a three than just getting the eighth pick. The fifth pick's kind of irrelevant, the fifth-round pick, and then Teddy Bridgewater, you know, is not a long-term answer. So anyway, do you have the reporter's name?
David Newton.
Oh, David Newton. I was close. I think I said Dave Stewart. So I got the first name right, not the last name. Then David Newton? Panthers reporter? Cam Newton? David Newton? Is this Cam being a reporter? Anyway, the Panthers, per a source in David Newton's article, plan to make a strong run at Houston quarterback Deshaun Watson that the Texans grant the former Clemson star's wish to be traded. So no one's talking about that last part, because I guess we all assume that the Panthers are doing that. But when a big, bold prediction is made that it's going to be three ones and McCaffrey for Watson, which I don't think you're going to trade McCaffrey to get Watson. Now, you could. If that's a deal breaker, I guess you'd do it. But in that case, why not just give picks after picks after picks if you're Carolina and keep the core that you got? But that big, bold prediction made the rounds. The actual info did not.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.